Hi, everybody. This is Scott in Glenwood, Iowa, the minister of record for his church at Les Hills. I've lost Paul, our normal producer, engineer, if you will. I'm trying to get him back on the Skype conference call.
I'm on the regular phone, Scott.
There you go. Oh, sweet. There you are. Okay. Great. Well, Paul, take it away.
Take it away? Good morning, everybody. This is Paul from Wisconsin, currently away in Michigan visiting family. But cell phones do wonders sometimes. So here we are on Keys of the Kingdom. Good morning. Here we talk about the kingdom of God. And this morning, Brother Gregory can't make it. He's got some tasks on the farm he's got to tend to. So we are once again getting together a number of the ministers from around the network and have a little chat with you. And if you'd care to join us, that'd be fantastic. You can join our conference call, and I'll go slow in case I'm not real clear here, but the number is 559-726-1300. 559-726-1300. And then when you get there, you have to put in a code to get on our call, and that is 795-132. And you can come in and chat with us, ask any questions, give any comments, and we'll let us know what's on your mind. Today, Scott is kind of taking over. He's got the best internet hookup that we could find, and he's got cable internet, so he's Skyping into the radio station and he's linking in this conference call so we can all talk. I also see that El Sheba is on, Claude in Vermont is on, Nitan Parak, Suits Parak, and Isabel, our conference men as well. And someone unknown, looks like North Dakota, perhaps it's Michael. So I'll just send it back to Scott. You got anything on your mind, any subject matter that you'd like to start with here?
Well, about the only thing that's kind of new this week from last week, in response to the recent Supreme Court ruling that Obamacare, or whatever you want to call it, is constitutional, I received a scramble of phone calls from some people. Now it seems like their line in the sand has finally been crossed, and they want to get together tomorrow in my home to discuss ways of getting closer to the kingdom. So I guess we all have that breaking point when finally they've had enough of being a person and a member of the civil society and really want to try to repent and return to the ways of God as a man or a woman in the natural law. So that's kind of exciting. These people are people that I've known for a while. One of them was actually at the Whirlwind Tour event in Omaha last year when Brother Gregory went all the way around the United States stopping at various places and came to all the events kind of out of the blue. So that was really interesting, and we've kind of maintained somewhat of a friendly relationship since then. So this will be exciting. I was joking though on the PCM email group that they could be coming with pitchforks and torches because I said I agreed that the Obamacare is constitutional based on the fact that it's a civil law society and all those people are basically their children, persons, members. And I'm surprised it actually took them this long to make sure that their kids get proper health care. So anyway, that's so really new.
Their kids like to argue about what is proper health care. And if they keep them, discussing, the right way is best or the left way is best, then they kind of forget to think about, well, what's God's way?
You're absolutely correct. That is one of our big problems is we're easily distracted. We have lots of distractions in this modern lifestyle of ours.
Hey, Scott. It's Isabel. And I'm wondering what those people are saying that makes this, that allows them to say it's unconstitutional. Do you know?
I other than, you know, the from what I understand, from what I hear from most people, is this idea that it's none of the government's business to be able to force people to buy something. And that is true if you're not bound up and contracted with them. If we have those contracts, you know, the government can exercise that authority. There's one of the Supreme Court cases that I always kind of fall back to in modern times anyway is Wickard versus Filburn, which was decided in 1942 by the U.S. Supreme Court. Very interesting backstory. It was a farmer during the Depression who accepted the government's offer for a farm subsidy program to increase the price of wheat. But the government's program limited the number of acreage that farmers on the program could grow wheat. And, of course, Mr. Filburn, Mr. Wickard was the Secretary of Agriculture at the time, and Mr. Filburn being the farmer, followed the agreement of the contract to a T for a while, but then decided he wanted to grow more wheat. But he reasoned and rationalized his excuse as, well, I'm not going to sell that wheat to the government. I'm going to keep it for my own purposes. Well, the Supreme Court ruled correctly, no, you can't do that, because if you wanted to grow extra wheat, you know, you shouldn't have signed up for the program. You're limited to this amount of wheat and at the higher subsidized price, and that would force you, if you needed more wheat, to go into the government's controlled and manipulated market and buy the wheat that you needed extra at the higher controlled and manipulated price. There was nothing that said that Mr. Filburn had to accept the government program. And if he hadn't accepted it, he could have grown all the wheat he wanted and sold it on the open market. The problem was is that nobody was making a lot of money because the wheat price was tanked on the open market. So the government came in and boosted the price. So we're always have to look at our what's our motivation, and our fleshy motivations can sometimes get the better of us, the greed in this case of wanting a higher wheat price. And the Supreme Court in their findings said this. It said, let me see if I can get this quote right. It's hardly lack of due process for government to regulate that which it subsidizes. So, and that goes back to a maxim of law that says he who receives the benefit should also bear the disadvantage or bear the burden. So we have a problem in this country. The people, for the most part, the persons and members of the civil body called the United States, i.e. U.S. citizens, are horribly unhealthy. They're overweight. I'm one of them. You know, we eat bad food, but that's another issue that we could discuss. They have all kinds of horrible health problems, but this is the bread and butter of that system. We need those citizens, those persons, paying those forced contributions in order to keep the government funded on that in that government, not in God's government. So, you know, they need to keep those people healthy. That's the general welfare clause. We've got to keep those citizens healthy so that we can extract as much tribute tax out of them as we possibly can. So, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why they need health care in that system. And I think all they're doing is, like they always do, that's a controlled and manipulated economy. It's not an open economy. It hasn't been open for a long time. So they're just manipulating that system to maximize their profit margin.
I find it interesting that that's one of our missions at His Holy Church, is to kind of rattle the bars of the cages so that you realize you're in one. And that's kind of one thing that we try and do with everyone out there is, you know, show people they're in a cage. Now, I think this recent Supreme Court decision is starting to rattle buyers too. And that's why people are getting up in arms. They're saying, wait a minute, I'm not in a cage. You know, you can't force me to do this, and maybe this is going to move things forward in reference to us, as far as people realizing, hey, there's something going on here. Maybe I got to open my eyes and look around. Good question, Isabel.
Yeah, the next thing. Well, I was just going to say on top of that, Paul, I agree with you totally. Now the next problem, and this is going to be a concern of mine in this meeting tomorrow, that I'm going to have to be very careful listening, because I've already heard it in the phone conversation with these folks, the motivation for why they're wanting now to start seeking this help from His Church at Los Hills and the network, hopefully, it's a selfish motivation. It's, I want this. Those are the words that I hear an awful lot. I need, I want, I, or me. And, you know, so now it's great that we're rattling the bars, but now, you know, you gotta, in order to come out of those bars righteously, you can't do it so much for the me, I crowd. It's gotta be for you. Our children.
So the people that you're talking to don't see themselves as being in a cage? Is that it? Living in that cage?
Well, how many U.S. citizens really see themselves as living in a cage? I mean, they are indoctrinated from birth to death to believe that that the United States, i.e. a body politic, is the freest country, totally erroneous, you know, terminology, in the world that's ever existed. No, it isn't. there's always been examples of much freer societies in the past, but that's what we're indoctrinated to believe. So it's hard to get over that indoctrination and set those bags down.
Well, this coming Wednesday is a perfect example. I mean, how many people are going to be out there shooting off fireworks and getting together and celebrating as patriots, where we know where that word comes from, the patria, the father. Who is your father? Is it the United States? I mean, who are you patriotic to, right? Our father, who art in Washington, D.C.? You know, in church on Sunday, you say something else, but think about it. You know, that's where it's going to come to a head.
Yeah, you know, I was talking, this is Ella Sheba in Arkansas. I was talking with Martha this morning, and she said, well, she says, you know, she says, here we thought we were free. She says, and now we find out that we're not free. And we were talking about whether it was better to think that you were free and not be free, or to finally realize that you're not free. And we discussed about ignorance being bliss until we learned that we're really not, you know.
My friend has a quote, ignorance is bliss, but it's still ignorance.
Right. And so when you finally, you know, you've been having these nigglings, you understand that there's a problem, but you can't put your finger on exactly what, and you know there's a difference between what you understand to be and what's really going on, but then to discover that there is, that the Father offered from the beginning a different way. And it seems like when you talk with people, they'd rather complain about the way things are than to do something that might start making a difference. Now, I'm not saying everybody's in that place, but it seems like the majority of people are. So I'm glad to find out that we're not free, because it just confirmed everything I knew in my spirit in the first place.
Well, it's interesting, though, the gap between A, finding out you're not free, and B, like you say, finding out that God has always had a plan that you could be free, that that gap in there is where the frustration and the anger and the uprisings come from. And I think it's going to be no different now because, you know, we've been so separated from the message of Christ's kingdom.
And it's really, really strange how we were told for years and years that it was wrong to think about getting free because we are free. I mean, in our churches, in our, you know, and like the with the those who were trained to think as patriots don't even understand that that type of thinking is not the Father's thinking, and that's not what He's called us to. And so I'm praying that our eyes are open on that, the folks that are realizing something's wrong but going to the Patriot movement to get their salvation when His salvation is not there.
Very true. Very true. One thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, and I don't mean to derail the conversation, but I want to get as many people involved as possible, is that there's also a chat room where you can get in if you don't have, you know, readily available telephone service. You can come on a chat room online, and that would be at WWFAR. It's not WWW, but it's 2WSFAR.com/chat. And you can go in there, and we've got people on this call monitoring that. So if you have comments or questions, bring them up there as well. But back to what you were saying, Alasheba, is I found it funny because this morning I was looking through some of the comments on Facebook, and there were people, you know, all kinds of reactions to the Supreme Court decision. And at one point I just wanted to type in, I didn't, but I wanted to type in, you know, stop complaining and figure out something to do. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I may go back and do that yet. We'll see.
You know, something else that's kind of a food for thought, and it can be very unsettling, but at the same time, if you find peace in it, it can be very settling and really puts you firmly on that rock, which is our King of Kings. And that is, and this is what people don't want to hear, you know, those Israelites that came out of Egypt in that Exodus, most of them did not cross the Jordan River to become Hebrews, crossing over into the Promised Land where it was flowing with milk and honey. We can refer to that as being, you know, the allodial titles, the actual beneficial interest, this milk and honey of actually owning your labor, your possessions, being back under this system of God. You know, a lot of those Israelites had to wander in the desert and die. Why? Because we have so much of the Egypt in us that it's going to be hard for all of us to let go. But if we can focus on making these changes, not necessarily for ourselves and our own selfish desire to be free, but to set our children free, to set our grandchildren free, to set our neighbors' kids free and grandchildren free. Man, if we're willing to lay our life down for that, what a sacrifice. And if you can get people to look at it that way, you know, it might encourage them to come together a little bit better than the selfish attitude.
Yeah, and not even so much for our own children and grandchildren, but for others. But at least, you know, that's a step in the right direction, not for me, but for, you know, somebody else. It's a step in the right direction, but it must of necessity include at minimum 50% our neighbor's children and our neighbor's children's children. Hello?
Oh.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I thought I just did, but
someone else was coming in. Yeah. You want to explain where the 50% comes in?
The 50% would be as Messiah, but also Moses. Certainly, Messiah was not the first to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Moses said it. It's recorded as him having said it. I would venture to say that he's probably not the first one to have expressed that, but at least we have it written as to him having said it. But that 50% speaks to the 50% of, you know, loving our neighbors, speaks to loving our neighbors as ourselves, and that 50% would include not only our money, you know, taxes, if you will, self-imposed taxes, but our time, our thoughts, our, you know, how much of our energies in all these various forms are dedicated to setting our neighbors free, working together for that purpose of setting the other man free. And it's really not, you know, we hear the example of a person who wants, let's say, by vote for everybody to pay for their benefits, benefits of, you know, public education, health care, what have you. But just as they as an individual vote for others to provide for them, all these other people are voting for, or so many of these people are voting for the same thing, and quite frankly, there's more of them than there is for you. That's a spiritual principle that that states that whatever you're wanting of people, you can pretty much assume that that same thing that you're asking for them to provide for you, they are going to ask that you provide for them. Well, if we look at the other side of that coin, that spiritual principle, it works equally as effectively in the kingdom of God. If you as an individual are working to set your neighbor free, there's more neighbors than there is you, therefore there's more people. If this principle is valid, you know, there's one law in Israel, the same principle works equally well. There's just more neighbors trying to set you free if you're trying to set your neighbors free. So, you know, I can take 50% of my time, 100% of my time, and I can spend it trying to set myself free, but I only have so much time. If I'm focusing rather on setting my neighbor free, then there's 5, 10, 15, 1,500 neighbors. If they're trying to set me free, there's just a whole heck of a lot more time, energy, resources working to set me free than I could ever rally to set myself free.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I just figured we should put a little explanation to the 50% because I can see people, Christians, saying, wow, I just came to grips with, you know, tithing 10%, and now you're saying that it's 50%.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
What year is it? The year of the Lord God, the Pope, 2012 according to the Vatican's Gregorian calendar, or 5940 since creation, according to the Bible? Did you know that the Creator put a clear chronology from the creation in His Word? It is widely accepted that the millennial reign of Christ will be the Sabbath or seventh millennium from the creation. If this thesis holds true, then this clear chronology becomes very important. Is the seventh millennium imminent? Will there be a rapturous date? Or is it about 60 years off? See the clear evidence for yourself in the booklet, What Year Is It? We will send you the Greatest Prophecy DVD, the booklet, What Year Is It?, and a copy of Richard Bennett's groundbreaking work, The Inquisition, for a mere $5 shipping and handling cost. Any donation above that amount is appreciated. Send your $5 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. Again, send your cash support donation to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Or see the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com to send a check or money order. We are grateful to the Almighty for your support. The Greatest Prophecy DVD.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Welcome back to our little roller coaster ride of technology and keys of the kingdom. We're having trouble with Skype connections and phone connections, but I think we're all still on. And fortunately, it happened at a break. So let's continue where we left off. And Nissan, I think you were just finishing up a thought, or maybe you've already completed.
Yeah, pretty much concluded on my end. I guess the salient point there is, again, there's one law, and the same laws that exist, the same principles that we can point to, the same kind of situations, circumstances we can point to those that are generally referred to as being, in the world, and we need to, understand what that means, and this is not the time or place for it. Certainly not me speaking to it, but those same principles exist on the kingdom side. For example, we say that the people of whatever government of the world have the government that they deserve. Well, if we're supposed to be striving for the kingdom and it's not quite what it's supposed to be, well, that's because we're not quite what we need to be yet. So, gravity works on both sides. All these spiritual principles work on both sides. And, there's one law. Once we understand what that is, like gravity, we don't have to know what the word is. We don't have to understand. We don't have to be able to articulate to somebody. We just need to know that don't jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Don't go, doing silly things. Once we understand the spiritual principles, the same holds true. You just order your life in keeping with them. A lot safer that way.
Safety. Yeah.
Well, if you're into that sort of thing.
So what you're saying is in the New Testament where it says esteeming others is better than yourselves is the principle of the kingdom?
I'm not sure that I heard that.
Yeah, I would have to say if it says it, it probably is. What exactly it's speaking to, that would be another question. But whatever it means by whatever it said, then yes. For example, Scott earlier, he mentioned how that seemingly there's a heightened interest in gathering together as a result of this bill coming down the pike, and I guess maybe more intensified, since it was passed or it looked like it was going to be passed. Well, if you look, and I have to look this up, and now my computer went to sleep, but if you look at, I think it's Luke chapter 14, and starting with verse 40, what is it? 40, Luke chapter 14, verse 31. For what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? This just happens to be King James, and no offense to anybody, but continuing in verse 32, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. is it talking about, kings going to war? Well, yeah, but there's a principle there that transcends time, space, social, economical, religious, racist, races, that when, before you get in a situation where your life is threatened, it's generally understood that maybe you might be genuine in wanting to talk about peace than when the greater enemy or when the situation, however you might assess situations, when the situation is such that you think you might lose. now you come out for terms for peace. Well, had you come out earlier, I might be more inclined to believe that. So, we have to, it's normal, it's reasonable to assume that if someone's waiting to the last minute to raise the flag, it's reasonable to assume that when the situation turns and you have the upper hand, you might behave differently than what you are right now, because you're only acting out of a motive to save your own skin, you know what I mean? So, there's principles, and that's all I'm saying.
I think the verse you bring up is also similar to a verse that Brother Gregory's been putting out there for a week or two. I want to see how it will catch on, and that is the verse with regard to walking a mile with your adversary. Make peace with your adversary while you're in the lane, lest he take you to the courts. And it has to do with getting things resolved before it goes too far, right? Can you come up with a better resolution one-on-one, or do you have to get someone else involved? Do you have to go all the way to war to figure this out, or talk, communicate? Let's negotiate something. Let's see if we can come to common ground, and if not, then there's consequences. that? Is there more on new people coming in on your meeting? You said it's tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow. What's always made me a little nervous is they're coming to my house, which I welcome everybody in my house if I know you. I don't know who all is coming. So, like I said, it could be pitchforks and torches. That's just a joke, of course. I don't really. you know, it'll be very interesting. It'll be one of those. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stamping of the little nervous ticks going on in the room. I was going to throw out, you know, listening to the conversation, I hurdles that we need to try to overcome with people. You know, a lot of people are really good people. You know, most people are good people. I've only met a few people in my lifetime, and I'm sure maybe others could bear witness to similar stories, that, you know, you just kind of know that they're just inherently evil. You know, you meet them, and it's like, man, I just do not want to ever run into you in a dark alley. But, you know, for the most part, most people are very good people. They just, we've gotten lost along the way somewhere. So two of the hurdles that I run into when I talk to people is, okay, so now they realize that they're a slave or that they're starting to wake up to this. They're overwhelmed. They have no clue now how to react. So a lot of times they react in anger. They react in frustration. They don't see this kingdom on the horizon over here, even though they've been going to church their whole life. They just can't see it because they've been bound up into this. The other side of this is, I, especially with benefits, and I get this a lot with a lot of elderly people, or older people, you know, they've got this feeling that they've been robbed. They've been paying in their whole life to this system that they thought was, you know, right. And it's like, well, now what do I do? If I were to walk away from this, what do I do? And I try to comfort them and say, you know, maybe you can't walk away. Paul writes, you know, if you can be free, choose it rather. You may not be able to if you're, you know, getting ready to retire or at that age. But you know what? Now you can take on the responsibility of helping to educate younger people so that they don't follow that same mistake. You know, you sacrifice your staying in the system in order so that others might be able to be free. It goes back to that same principle.
Good point.
So that's the only other 2 points I was going to throw out on that. And that's what I'll focus. You know, it'll always be a bringing these people back around again, because it'll get off on many tangents, and it'll try to be always bringing them back around to keep their mind focused strictly on the kingdom and those natural law principles.
You know, I like that story you bring up with the not story, but that concept of them paying in all their life and then feeling like they're entitled to something from that. Because I just ran into a conversation last night, as a matter of fact, and it wasn't with Social Security such or even pension type of sort of system, but it was insurance. And the insurance, you know, a guy had some damage done to his house, and he finally had to make a claim. And then he realized he had a deductible on there. Well, the deductible, you know, he said, well, shoot, I've been paying for years and years and years on this insurance. I've never made a claim until now. Why should I have to pay that deductible? How can I get out of that? And, I mean, we have this call and look at that and say, you know, that's just not righteous. That's not the way to look at it. You signed up, and this is the contract you signed, and, you know, follow up, make your yes. But it's that entitlement mentality that's out there where people think, you know, I deserve more.
You know, when Messiah said about not loving your family and even your own life, but to walk away from everything. That may be part of the picture that we're not getting, you know. Yes, we may have lived in slavery our whole lives, but the Father's calling us to something better. And it might not look better for a while, but that doesn't mean it's not. I was thinking about how, when we were talking earlier about about finally realizing that you're not free, which is something you might have suspected if you're listening in your spirit, and looking at the principles, but not understanding that your parents sold you into slavery, that you bought falsehood as truth your whole life. Well, then the tendency, like Scott was saying, to get angry, you know. But yet, you know, and I've watched over time whenever people discovered that their true church, you know, over years as I've spent time with folks, they're studying the scriptures and they're learning by the Spirit that things are different. Well, there's a difference between those that are learning by the Spirit that things are different in His ways and those that somebody tells and they haven't gotten a Father's witness in their spirit. And the tendency is, the temptation is, to resent the people that mistreated you, that stole from you, that told you lies about who you are and what your situation is in life and in the kingdom and what the scripture teaches as opposed to what you've been taught. And I'm looking at a broad picture here. And we're told, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And this fits when we have been lied to and deceived, and we realize that we were sheep out there getting sheared, getting being somebody's dinner, as another brother put it, that the prophet, shepherds don't have the spirit of compassion. And so the Father, the Savior, calls us, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And come to freedom and peace in that they're reaping what they sow, and ask the Father to give us the grace to give them the freedom to learn the hard way like we've been learning the hard way. And pray that their hearts will come to the place where they can actually hear His voice and follow Him instead of all the traditions they've been taught. Those are things that I have observed over time that I'm concerned about, because the temptation is to indulge that anger that we've been lied to. What the Father's calling us is to be grateful that He's opened our eyes so that we can see and walk in His peace instead of this turmoil.
Yeah, Elisheba, I'm reminded of what you just said from a Dresden James quote. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. It goes something like, if a well-packaged web of lies has been sold to the masses slowly over time, the truth, when it's spoken, will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. When I think about that quote from Dresden James, I immediately go to people in the Bible like Elijah and Jeremiah, you know, and all these guys that are trying to tell these folks that have gone the wrong way, that they've gone the wrong way. But you're absolutely right, and you and I can't do anything. We can sit here and talk about it, but until they're kind of convicted in their own heart by the Spirit of God, you know, they are going to just think that these truths are utterly preposterous and the speaker's a lunatic.
That goes towards another quote I read just this week. I think it was something in your area, Scott. But it was a quote that said, it's easy to fool the it's easier to fool the people than it is to convince them that they've been fooled.
I'm muted. I'm sitting here laughing, rolling on the floor. I'd like to know who said that.
Yeah, I can get that to you. Had my computer been cooperating, I could go online and find out. But
Paul, for some reason, we're having a hard time getting all your words. Do you think you could get closer to the microphone or speak up a little bit or something? Because I would like to hear what Scott's rolling on the floor about.
Okay. Am I quiet or am I breaking up?
Oh, you're good now. You were just quiet.
All right. Well, it was a quote I saw this week. I think it was posted by someone on the network. I'm not sure who said the quote. I'd have to go back and look. But the quote essentially was, it's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Paul. I heard it, too. Thanks for speaking up.
No problem.
Hi, this is Martha from Mississippi.
Good morning, Martha.
Hi there. I had a quote from a German philosopher. The name looks too hard to pronounce, but it starts with a S-C-H. It says, all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as self-evident.
I like that one a lot, Martha. Thank you.
Hi, it is Michael. Good morning, Michael.
My phone's been plugged into a amplifier, and when I unplug it, it hangs up on me most of the time. So I did in general.
Good to have you on the call.
Okay, Michael, can you give us a report of what's been going on up in your neck of the woods? We've been talking about you, but haven't been able to get a hold of you to check in yet. Paul and I were just mentioning to you last night on the phone. Tell us what's been going on up there.
Well, the weather's been pretty good. There's been a few projects we've been working on here around my place, and not really sure what to say. Moving forward, it's been a mostly uneventful year for the most part, really.
I know you're one of those guys that's out beating the ground with a stick, trying to stir up and find the kingdom seekers on the ground there locally. And doing a lot of things to kind of bear witness to the kingdom so people can see that. Anything locally going on that with folks, helping folks out or getting together with folks?
Well, there's a little bit of stuff we do with a couple of the close neighbors here. There's a lot of good people out here. You know, I've shared DVDs and whatnot with local people around here. I don't know exactly. I don't really see a lot of people wanting to hop on board with some internet thing, but there's a lot of people with the plow, you know, going along. You know, there's a lot of obviously being in agricultural community. There's an abundance of a lot of the things we're trying to do that people do already. So, you know, I've been plugged into a pretty decent seed scare kind of thing going on locally here, and just trying to move forward mainly.
Let me ask you this. You just touched on something I think is another one of those little hurdles to helping people get over that ridge to be able to see the kingdom again, kind of like the prodigal son. You know, the father didn't see him and the brother didn't see him until he kind of came up over that ridge. And I think so many of us, we're back on that backside yet. We're not quite over that top of that hill where our dad can see us, the father and creator can really see us and come running out to us yet. You know, one of those things I think that's causing us from going over the top of that hill is, you know, like you're saying, there's a lot of folks already there, especially there in, you know, in North Dakota that are, you know, still on the land, working hard, doing a lot of those kingdom principles. Do you think some of those folks have a hard time maybe seeing some of these aspects of moving from, you know, being these doers to now actually kind of separating themselves out in a way to where they're actually more kingdom in both aspects of their...
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web
this
at
service
www.
Is provided in high-
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
California. Yeah. 5597.
And that one doesn't answer either. Think Nicholas got tired of us?
Maybe.
I tried getting on through the computer, and it said that I had to put an access code in, and there's no way I could find to put it in. I got it up on the screen, but I couldn't. I had no way to put an access code in, so it never went.
So somebody said in the chat room that audio is back. Can you guys, in the chat room, can you confirm that for me? Or is everybody in the chat room hearing this?
There's a delay. They won't be able to respond right away.
Well, anyway, I'll be right back here shortly. So I hope everything's resolved.
Yeah, we heard you.
Thanks. Bye.
You see us as being connected, Scott?
No, it's still showing me that. Oh, now they're saying in the chat room that they're hearing. So.
Yeah, Skype likes to give these false flags. Sorry about the miscellaneous discussion. The audience.
Just blame me. I'll take full responsibility. I'm not a sound engineer. I'm not a radio show producer. So.
So how come we're not hearing the how come we're not hearing the advertisements?
It's not a break. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there was a break we just went through.
We probably went through it.
Yeah, we're on the other side, huh?
So let's continue as if we're connected. Welcome back, everybody. does it sound like amateur hour to you? We apologize for that. We're here on Keys of the Kingdom. We're here talking about the Kingdom of God. We're talking about it with ministers from around the His Holy Church Living Network, a worldwide network of people seeking the Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and just trying to work out our salvation through fear and trembling, as we're told in the Good Book. If you would like to join us in our discussion, please feel free to do this in a conference call arena, and the number is 559-726-1300. That's 559-726-1300. Once you get there, it'll ask you for a number, a call ID, and that is 795-132. So I hope to hear some voices, or we have people monitoring a chat room as well. That chat room can be found at wwfar.com/chat. And you can get on there and ask questions. You can call in and ask them directly using your voice or whatever way we can get across. Email is probably not a good plan at this point. But I thank Scott for filling in the gap. Brother Gregory is unavailable today, and I am on vacation in a place where there exists only dial-up internet, so we can't do much audio-wise with that. I'm calling in on cell phone, and Scott's got high-speed internet, and he's keeping us all connected via Skype. So thank you, Scott, for doing that.
Oh, this is Alishiva, and I just wanted to give a heads up here. I haven't been on the internet for a couple of days, but my husband's mother, my husband just told me that yesterday, that his mother would like us to come out there to Georgia. And so we'll be heading on out there, I think, come tomorrow morning. And if we can meet with anybody on the way, we'd be glad to if there's anybody on the way, but please let us know. And PCMs that might have somebody in their area that maybe they haven't been, that might like to meet someone else, we'd be glad to visit with you and just see how that's, you know, how we can connect and get our schedules together.
Can you give us a vague description of your route?
A vague description of our route. Okay, well, we're going to go out, and we're going to get on the highway, and we're going to head toward Marietta, Georgia.
Well, I would say that most of the listeners aren't sure where you're at now.
I'm sorry. We're in Arkansas. Maybe my husband can give a better description of the route than I can.
Well, are you going to go through Tennessee or further south, Mississippi?
Just a second. Let me ask him. How are we planning to get to Georgia? I just told Coastal we had met that and we were driving these folks and he was asking what our description of our route. Okay, Tom says we'll be going through Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama on the way to
Georgia. All right, so anyone listening and in the Living Network and would like to meet with El Sheba and her husband Tom, going through Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, get on the Living Network or give us a call today, speak up in the chat room, you know, let us know. And we try and make every effort to get by and see who would like to be seated and talk about some common ground subjects and spread the gospel, good news.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, on this call today, we have Suits Parak, who's in New York, or started in New York. I'm not sure. Are you traveling towards Oregon yet?
What was that?
Are you traveling towards Oregon yet, or are you still in New York?
Oh, yeah, no. God willing, we'll be leaving Tuesday-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know last week we had a little chat with you. You're a volunteer for a personal contact minister.
Yes.
Just seeing you, know, you told us a little about yourself. And I'm wondering if you've had any feedback on that or have more you'd like to say to...
No, I haven't had any feedback, and it'll be interesting when I do. I'm looking forward to getting together someday with Roberta because she seems to have some things on her heart to share with me, and that'll be fun to hear. But no, I haven't heard back from... where is she, in Missouri?
I think she's...
Oh, she's in Colorado right now, right?
Yeah, presently.
Okay, right. Yeah, no, it's interesting because it's such a different culture that we're coming out of and being put into this new culture has been eye-opening and interesting, and just trying to learn the language is a lot in and of itself. I find myself slipping into Hebrew and having to come out of it, and I'm very curious.
Refresh for us what you mean by a change of culture.
Well, I was living as a Hasidic Jew. I'm Jewish and had become ultra-Orthodox and was in a Hasidic community, and it's just a very different way, completely different language and culture, and everything about it is so much different. I find myself wondering exactly what people are talking about, you know, just learning a new way of looking at things and thinking about things, and it's been great. But it'll be curious to interact with people who maybe have less of an appreciation for Jewish culture, which I've heard is true of some folks involved. And I'm looking forward to these discussions, God willing.
So what is the new culture that you're going into and out of the Hebrew?
Well, it seems like many of the folks involved with HHC are coming out of or were raised in a more of a Christian culture, what we would have called Mishigoyim back in.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just really a world apart in so many ways, just even the way the brain is patterned because of being raised in different cultures, you know, of course. That would be true. So, yeah, that's what I'm speaking to.
Yeah. Appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
And Martha, that was Martha's voice, I believe, from Mississippi. You are also a volunteer contact minister? Or are you?
Yes, that's correct. And I'd like to express my thankfulness. I've met some people in Tennessee, and we were able to gather in Jackson, Tennessee, and now they've written me, and they're trying to commit to reading the Free Church report through, and we're waiting on my reply, and I said, okay, yeah, we'll read it all the way through and then discuss it. And I'm just thankful that I have them to help build a fire under me. It's a real blessing.
Well, for the people in the listening audience, the book called The Free Church Report is basically a book describing the structure of the church in God's kingdom and how we can implement that and how it was implemented back in ancient Israel and the first century church and what benefits it will bring to community in this day and age as well. It's a very technical book, and I commend you for starting at that level. I hope it works out, and feel free to draw on any of the contact ministers if some questions arise.
Well, I was wanting them to form a congregation of record, and I think they're eager to, but they felt it very important to read exactly what that is and everything before committing to it. And I guess I know that I thought, well, you know, that would be a good thing to do. And although I feel it in my heart it's the right thing to do, I guess it's a real duty to know what that structure is and before you do it. And
maybe Scott can chime in with some viewpoint on congregation forming. He's intimately familiar with it.
Yeah, we've been talking about, Martha and I have been talking about calls, and Scott's already agreed to join us on a call, so that should be a blessing. When I guess we get to the point, I was available last week to answer questions and got a hold of Scott to see when he might be available, and they decided that they didn't know enough to ask to know what questions to ask, so that's why they decided to read the Free Church Report.
Yes, and something I admire about Scott is that I don't think he does too much networking with us yet because he's pretty new, and he wants to read it and know more about it so that he can communicate more and know that this is, you know, he was drawn to this and still feels drawn to this idea, and but he wants to read more about it before he actually commits and, I guess, gets more public with it.
Okay, and this is not the Scott that's taking care of the radio. This is a different Scott, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This Scott is in close to the Memphis area. And he has a volunteer, or he also knows a volunteer PCM named David Garten. That's the proper pronunciation, is David Garten. And I was excited to have the opportunity to meet him also. And he's also committed, and then another friend named Rich, but he's almost to get his doctorate, and I think he's or a PhD, some kind of degree that he's having to work on right now, so he may not get to read it right now. But I'm just excited to have someone this close, you know, that are attracted to these principles.
That is exciting. Thanks for sharing that.
Hey, Art.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Nikon Parak here. Martha, this is, I believe, at least the second time you mentioned this David Gostern, or however you're pronouncing it. Forgive me. That he's a volunteer PCM. Maybe he's been around longer. Before, you know, we got the Preparing You volunteer PCM portion of that page. I don't recall seeing either him, his picture, or a blurb, you know, there on that site, you know, letting folks know that, you know, he has volunteered. And so, you know, folks won't know that he needs, you know, some electors to elect him. have you spoken with him, or do you know anyone who's spoken with him about maybe getting that information up there?
Well, the first time I think I had realized he, well, he replied on the North Carolina group, I think in response to Jeff Perot the other day. So I see that he's on the North Carolina group, and he may, it was my understanding that he was a volunteer PCM now. He might need a hand with that, getting it up. I think I even saw a reply about that as well. So I'll get with him and see if I can't find out about that, Nitson.
Okay, I've only recently come on board that group. He may have sent out a notice to the effect that he's, you know, wanting to be a PCM and willing to volunteer at this point. There's nothing on the volunteer PCM page for him. So it would help him. You know, folks get to know him a little bit. I've seen that email that you're talking about that he responded to Mr. Perot. I think that'd just be good for everybody all around to, you know that he's there and that he's, you know, volunteering, and hopefully get him some electors sooner than later. So he'll be able to be even more effective in his communicating and keeping people in touch.
Okay, thanks. And I'll let him know.
I'm wondering if the Dave Garten that we're referring to is TN Dave in the Liberty Radio Live chat room at wwfar.com/chat.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. Maybe, huh?
That might be the David that we're, or the Dave that we're talking about. And just so you know, Paul, there's Mark in Texas, and a couple of the others in the chat room have mentioned that you're sounding as though you're talking from the bottom of a well, knowing that you are on your cell phone, and under the circumstances, it's been a little unusual, but they're wondering if maybe you could get a little bit closer to your microphone so that you're not so faint.
Okay. I will endeavor to do that. I'll try and find a better spot for coverage, too. But thanks for the hint.
And I just got word in the chat room that TN or Tennessee Dave is the Dave Garten that Martha is referring to, and he's in the chat room.
All right.
Excellent. Well, TN Dave in the chat room, I think what, in case just to review, Nitan Parakh is saying is there is a part of the Preparing You website that we have made so people can put up information that they're being a volunteer contact minister. They get a picture up there and put a little blurb on what's bringing you to His Holy Church and why you want to volunteer as a personal contact minister. And perhaps you've seen it, perhaps you haven't. Martha can point you to that if you have not, and maybe we can get a photo and a little blurb from you up there. And that will help the people in your area know that you're looking to serve them.
Another thing that that helps with is, you know, a lot of us that are PCMs or people that are already on the network, check those pages and see who's volunteered. And then when we hear of people that are looking to vote for somebody, we can let them know who has actually volunteered and maybe help them get in contact with them to talk to them and that sort of thing.
I'm running pretty much blind here as far as who's participating. Is there anyone on this call that we haven't heard from that would like to have a say?
Hi, Claude here.
Claude, yes, you did have something to bring up.
Well, it kind of relates to this aspect of people first I guess, being aware of that they are, have been deceived or not fully told the truth with what's going on around them, their contracts, the adhesion contracts, the implied trust, the whole gamut of what's going on. It starts way back when, with me, when I was in grade school and growing up with in the family. And their issue was brought up about being angry. I was not so much angry with anybody when I came to the knowledge of the truth. It was before, this was before HHC even, when I realized this. But I was angry that I was deceived. And I kind of had to get a handle on that. I wasn't angry with anybody in particular, but that I had been deceived and lied to for most of my life, from school teachers to whatever. I was really very glad when I learned that I started learning the truth, even though one of the church groups that I came across had measures of the truth, they were still a 501c3 corporation. So it's been a learning experience all through. But the biggest key is your attitude and letting God work with you, helping you polish off the rough edges, I guess, or pulling you back a little bit so you can put forth new growth and what have you. Let's see, geez, I think it was 3 years ago, I found out another truth of why the constitutionalists keep saying everything is unconstitutional. And the main thing is they don't realize where they do have contracts. There is one clause in the Constitution that most ignore because they don't really understand it, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And it's in, you can look it up if you want. It's in Article 1, Section 8. I believe it's Clause number 17. And it says there, this is talking about Congress and the executive branch of the government. Says on that clause, it says to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, then in brackets they have not exceeding 10 miles square. And then it goes on and says, as may by session of the particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of government of the United States and exercise the authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the elections of, for the erections of forts, magazines, arsenals, and so on and so on. Most people miss that third word in that clause. And that word is exclusive. That means total authority, exclusive. There's nobody that can override that if you volunteer into it. And most contracts I've ever seen, even though they don't say they're contracts, you're applying for a license, one of the questions they always ask, are you a U.S. citizen? Which means you volunteer into that. That was something I didn't realize till just shortly a few years ago. So we have to be very careful with what we look at and say. I prefer to think I'm an ambassador now of Yahweh through the understanding of his holy church. So I don't know if anybody else has come to that conclusion, but that that's where the biggest hang-up is with the constitutionalists and people that they can't seem to grasp that aspect. If you go through Black's Law dictionaries over a period of years, because they're up to the eighth, or they may even be into the ninth by now, I don't know, you can see where they've changed it over the years to match a lot of stuff that's happened in the government in this country. In fact, they had to revise, what was it, number three, because they took away the gold standard. So, anybody else have any comments or disagree with that or have a different aspect that I'm missing? I'd appreciate them saying so. Is everybody there?
Yeah, we're here. I'd say I don't disagree with you at all, Claude. I think that Section 8 of the Constitution, especially those enumerated powers of Congress, and that one specifically, I think you're right. I think it's Clause 17. You read it directly, you think it's just applying to some geographical space, but now because of the 14th Amendment, those U.S. citizens are everywhere. I think the other clauses, there are several clauses in the Constitution I think are detrimental to people because they don't quite understand how they apply to them. In that same section, 8, you've got the Commerce Clause, and just about everything we do today is in commerce. Jordan versus Kay Toshiro was a Supreme Court case way back in the 20s that, you know, really is shocking when you see how, you know, and from right at the get-go, with Gibbons versus Ogden and all these Commerce Clauses cases, and it's not that the government is expanding the definition of commerce. It's that more and more people are engaging in commerce, so their power gets, spreads because the people are doing this. I think the other, you know, you mentioned the gold and silver clause. I think that's huge because that's one of the ways we lose our allodial titles. You know, if we're not paying for something with substance, according to natural law, we can only get a legal title. And then the contract clause. You know, you can't make any, you know, those contracts we're in, no state shall make any law abridging the, you know, the obligations of contracts. Well, that's telling you that contract law is extra or super constitutional. So if you engage in a contract, that law is what's going to rule over you, and no claiming of constitutional rights is going to help you.
I've never heard anyone that is an authority in the government ever come out and say that specifically. They just say it's constitutional. It's constitutional, which to me is a deception in a way. But sounds like you're going to get ready for a break here.
Yeah, it looks like we're coming up on it. There it is.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Caesar, that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Yeah. Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for His people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Back to the final segment of Keys of the Kingdom. Brother Gregory's not with us today, so we are talking with the various ministers around the Living Network. And I want to express our appreciation to Nicholas at Liberty Radio Live for giving us this opportunity. Sometimes we may diverge a little bit from what he sees the show as being, but we did have an arrangement to have more interactive radio show, and that's definitely what we're doing today. So hopefully you're hearing me okay, and I'm going to give it back to Scott to continue.
Oh, great.
Well, hey, listen, if you want to gather your thoughts for a little bit, I would like to mention as Tooth Brock said, we are headed out here come Tuesday, likely, and I'd like to let folks know the route. If anybody knowing that may want to gather, then they just need to let us know. I'll be sending out a email to the PCM group. We'll be traveling along the I-80. And about a week ago, I sent out, this is Neat Thumb for Rock, by the way, I sent out an email letting folks know that pretty much within 100 miles north or south of the I-80 between here in New York and Summer Lake, Oregon, if folks are wanting to meet for even a couple minutes over a cup of coffee or so to let us know, and then as we're nearing, we can be in phone conversation, coordinating to arrive at whatever place that where we've agreed upon. So, again, Nitzan Parak, Suit Parak, and the boy, Melchizedek, will be leaving here around Tuesday, hopefully, and headed across to Summer Lake and hoping on our side to be able to meet with folks, and maybe there's a shared interest out there.
Well,
I'm curious, Nikon Rock. with your current time frame, when do you expect to be hitting, like, the Chicago area?
Well, as for drive time, I don't know what, you know, what the mileage is, but so I can't say. It's going to depend on who all raises their hands, what kind of time they have, slash whatever needs they may have. Between the two of us, myself and Suits Parak, we have, you know, some, you know, range of skills, abilities, from, you know, helping paint or repair sheetrock or do whatever. If there's things that people need, and this is, you know, just, you know, my heart is always free will offer, just to help people, especially the elderly, the infirm, the widows, the orphans, the people who, for whatever reason, don't have an ability to pay. If we can strengthen them in our time through, then, you know, peace. Suits Parak has a number of other, I don't know, what would you classify them as, just knowledge that she's gathered along the way over her years, more in keeping with, you know, health and health-related, from gardening and you know, various plants and what to do with them and how to do various things with them, and alternative sort of body work, and I don't know, just a range. But as you know, as she's getting more known and people are maybe appreciating what she brings to the table, then the word will get out there, and you know, folks will be feeling more comfortable. Certainly, some folks sooner than others. You know, and at the same time, picking up information along the way, really enjoy opportunities to help people with things that, you know, I've never done before. A lot of the skills translate from one discipline to another, there's components of, you know, a lot of things that you just never experienced before. So really appreciate that opportunity to learn things, and I find that in working together with people, you get to know them at a level that's just hard to do in the same amount of time. So I really appreciate those opportunities. So it's kind of up in the air, and that's kind of a long answer. But you know, because I just don't know, but I don't expect too many people are going to have the time to sit too long with everybody doing the 9-to-5 thing. And and I expressed this in that one email too, and that's that while I'm looking, you know, forward obviously to meeting with folks that I have met with before, I am interested in meeting with folks that I haven't met with. And since this time across, we do have the boy. Melchizedek is 7 years of age, 7 and a half, he would say. Anybody having children, certainly if they're, you know, close to that age, either less than or greater, we'd be interested in meeting with them. And especially, too, if they're homeschooling or wanting to homeschool. We're kind of moving in that direction with him, so we can maybe share what we've all learned as regards that.
Homeschooling being one of those what we call kingdom tracks that that are just part of the shared desires of some of the people in the network. And there's also some great reference material at the Preparing You site about homeschooling. And I imagine you've already had opportunity to look through some of that. But that's awesome to hear. Go ahead.
Yes, we have been on that site, and it is a just a tremendous resource for anyone who's thinking along those lines, or maybe just has some questions, hasn't really made a you know, determination. The Preparing You website there, under, I think it's education, and then there's a link to homeschooling, and then I think Brent and or his wife, I think principally his wife, there's the specific link, just about everything you need to know about homeschooling or something to that effect, just a lot of stuff on that page.
Well, thanks. I wish you safe travels, and hopefully you'll get to hook up with a lot of people on your way out to Summer Lake. Now, speaking of Summer Lake, Oregon, the reason they're going out there is that this fall, the last week of September, I guess it's the last weekend in September, the following week, and then the first week in October, we're having the what we call a Burning Bush Festival, which is basically getting together as many people as possible to discuss, you know, to learn, to talk, to fellowship, and to come to greater understandings than we can individually on the kingdom of God. And hopefully, you know, if you'd like to learn more about that, there's a number of sites you can go to. The one that comes to mind is hisholychurch.org/retreat.php. We'll get you information on that, and we'll lead you to the other sites as well. And I moved around a little bit. Hopefully you're hearing me a little stronger now. If not, you know, keep letting me know. You know, I need reminders on some of this stuff, especially when my visibility into this call is limited. Scott,
I'm here.
Supposed to join us at some point. Has he appeared yet?
Who?
Brent?
No, I don't know if Brent's there because I really can't see the conference call.
You can't see either. Well, we'll just open it up for a second. Brent, are you with us?
This is Nikon Farak. I can see the board, but I do not see Brent there.
Well, it's not the chat room. It's the conference call board.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. But anyway, Nitsan, I wanted to let you know, I told you the last time that you were at my house for a while, the door is always open, and I saw you sending that email, you just come here. I'm open that way, but, you know, you are welcome. That's why I said that. You are always welcome. So when you get close, you just call and just come on over. You know where it's at. And, if I know you're
for those guys with the pitchforks.
Yeah, there may be just a pile of rubble, but we'll find something. We got some tents.
I appreciate you.
I was also going to, you know, Martha brought up the Congregation of Record, that it's a complex thing. I think that's one of those things that is another hurdle, thinking that it's complex. Paul, I know you and I like to use the term free assembly rather than, you know, congregation of record, because it does kind of imply something a little different. I think some of these words we use, it kind of causes a little issue for people. But if you start freely assembling coming together with people, you're in a congregation. That is a congregation. The record part of it is simply, you know, now you're making notes of your assembly, keeping track of it. There's a little more to it. You know, you fill out these trust indenture documents with that names the Messiah and a minister. But even that is really fairly simple. I think, you know, sometimes we get a little worried that we're going to stumble and fall. My personal opinion on the congregation of record thing is you just come together, you do it, and you, when you're actually doing things, you start learning. I think I learn best anyway by doing. I could sit in a classroom all day long and have people draw pictures on a blackboard, but man, until you just start doing it and stumble, pick yourself up, pick your neighbor up, it becomes a lot easier then to actually become that family of families helping one another.
Yeah, it's hard to dust your own back off. That's a good thing about having, you know, walking together with folks.
Yeah, that's very well said, Scott. And I can't improve on what you said. I can just kind of repeat it. But what you said is so true. I mean, we can sit here all day long and talk about forming congregations of records, and nothing's ever going to happen. Partly because of fear. I mean, we're afraid, well, what if we start this and it doesn't work? Okay? We got to get over that. We're going to run into issues, and we're not all going to be on the same page or see the same things the same way, and iron sharpens iron, but we're going to have some disagreements. We're going to stumble. We're going to need to be picked up and have our backs brushed off, and that's just reality. So let's get over the fear of that happening, realize it is going to happen, and take the plunge. You know, let's get out there. Let's find out what it means to be a congregation record and give it a try. If it doesn't work with everyone, okay, we'll pick ourselves up and we'll find the people it does work with. But, you know, just we got to get off the talking about it stage and take the plunge, try and do it, and we will all learn from it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely correct. If I look at it as, if we understand that this is a free walk, a free assembly, then you're free to leave. You know, it's those body politics with contracts that Claude was talking about earlier, the way the Constitution kind of binds people into this new family of just, you know, you may have a surname, but now you're really a U.S. citizen. These assemblies are truly free. I'm actually looking for the day, and I know this is going to shock people, but the day that his church at Lost Hills, that congregation, comes apart. And people are, what? Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because what that really means is that those people are probably coming together in a different assembly somewhere else that's maybe closer to them. And a new congregation is formed. And maybe this old one dies, but two, three, or four new ones come up. And you got to be willing to let those changes happen and not be afraid of them. And if people choose to freely walk away, they choose to freely walk away. It doesn't mean we don't love them any less, and we always want to keep the door open. They can choose to walk right back in.
So true. I mean, we serve an infinite God, right? And it's all about the journey. Okay, we're going to, well, as soon as we start feeling comfortable somewhere, like we get our little group together and we're comfortable with all the people in it, that's where we run into problems. We're supposed to say, what is the next step? Where can we go with this? And maybe it is breaking apart, and maybe that's a good part of the growth. You know, another one of these fears we have is that, well, we're too far apart. We're very spread out right now. You know, the people are sometimes hundreds of miles apart. We can still form these congregations, and we'll make goal number one to be to find the dots that are in between. You know, find the people that are seeking the kingdom of God. They're out there. They just haven't heard that we're doing it. They don't know who we are. So if we can find them and fill in the blanks, yeah, these congregations will break apart and reform into something else, just like Scott said.
Yeah, I talked to Brent, which I was hoping he'd be on to kind of give us a little update on what he's doing with some marketing techniques. But I talked to Brent about this because they, you know, that is a concern. Oh, we're too far apart. Well, you know, if we look at this from what it really is, when this free assembly comes together, you're talking about a government, you know, the state and the church coming together. These elders of families form the state, and this minister and this church office are the church. So this servant now, we like to talk in the worldly way of, well, they're my public servants. I voted for a public servant. Well, guess what? It's in the kingdom of God that you've actually voted for a public servant. In the kingdom of man, you voted for a benefactor that exercises authority. So here you have this new form of government coming together. So I've told Brent in the past, it's like, why are you worried about this distance thing? The colonial Americans, when they would get together in their colonialist free assemblies, they might have to travel days by horseback or carriage to get there to be able to have this meeting of these elders, this Witten, the white hairs, or whatever you want to call them, where they kind of discuss how we take care of one another, and then they give the plan to their minister, public servant, to execute and put that plan into action. Of course, we have a law form that we don't have to add to. It's already written for us. We just do everything based on that law. And if we're led to do it. So, you know, it's really a very simple system. but we're kind of still hung up because we kind of think in these worldly ways that we're binding ourselves together. We're not binding ourselves together in any way, and we want to try to actually avoid binding ourselves in any way possible. That's all.
Ah, that's excellent, too. And sometimes we take for granted what we actually have today. We got the internet, we got telephones and cell phones. I mean, I'm here, like I said, in the middle of nowhere, and I'm able to participate in this radio show and, you know, get the message out. They didn't have anything like this in colonial America, much less ancient Israel or the time of Christ. So we've got a lot of tools we can leverage to make these distances smaller, to keep in contact with one another, and to get the job done. We just got to make the initiative to go do it.
I appreciate you clearing that up and simplifying it.
We appreciate having people to be able to talk with it about. I mean, yeah, Scott's very right. It's not as complicated as we make it out to be. Yeah, there's a big book out there called The Free Church Report with a lot of details. I suspect that you get through two or three chapters and you pretty much got a handle on what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I can see the mission being to find more people. That does sound important, you know, to make, with gas prices and everything else, you know, the closer, and for helping each other, the idea is to fill in the dots, huh?
You know, like Michael said earlier, you know, up there in North Dakota, these folks are actually doing those things, and they may not need these pieces of paper yet. You know, you probably already have this extended network all around you. Maybe they're just at a place yet where they're down the hill where they can't see that kingdom at all, and they're struggling with some of these things that we talked about earlier. But it's going to be those folks, just like these folks that called me the other day when the SCOTUS passed or upheld the Obamacare, and they called and they said, well, we want to know what we can do. At some point, those folks, there's going to be a line crossed, and then they're going to stick their head up and want to know where to go. So, you know, like we were talking about, don't be afraid of this distance barrier, because you can break off and freely walk with these other folks, and now you've got this, the net starts really forming together in a real way, because you're already part of this other congregation. Now this family is, these families that are becoming a family out of faith, hope, and charity, not binding together.